The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So again, I'll say welcome to all of you. It's nice to be here. Happy hour is just beginning, but I already feel a little bit happy. That's nice. So something I want to talk about a little bit is these habits that many of us have. This habit of noticing the things that are wrong. So there's a recognition that all of us have, I don't know what word we would use, things that we wish were otherwise, foibles. I sometimes label the things that I'm often saying to my friends, well, you know, it's one of my neuroses that it's hard for me to, I'm not so timely in responding to emails or, you know, whatever it might be. All of us have things, right? There's nobody who's absolutely perfect. We all have these ways we behave, thought patterns, things in our experience that we might have this idea we wish it were otherwise. And of course, it's not only in ourselves, right? We might be noticing this in others. We might be thinking that they have, like, oh, they really shouldn't do that. They really shouldn't say that. They really, don't they understand? Don't they know that that's annoying, that that's troubling, that whatever it might be, whatever story we might have about it. And we may feel that we're doing somebody a favor by letting them know, you know, look, that's actually really off-putting, annoying, not helpful, whatever it might be. When we point it out to somebody. And we might be thinking we're doing ourselves a favor when we're beating ourselves up. You really shouldn't do that. Don't eat that 1,200th cookie. Don't, you know, whatever it might be. Don't be late. Don't put off these things. And we can convince ourselves that we're doing this for other people's benefit or for our own benefit. Like, I'm just doing this to take care of them, to take care of myself. I'm doing this for the right reasons. Which may be true, which I'm not saying that it's not true, but it also can become a habit. It can be habit to just be noticing the kind of the negative things, the things that aren't quite right. And sometimes have this idea that we should tell others. We should let people know what isn't quite right. Maybe with the hope that they'll fix them or with the idea that we're going to fix them. But if we focus on those things that aren't quite right, maybe even these turn out to be people's vulnerable areas. Turns out to be places that are painful and difficult for them. If we do this, we might undermine them, undermine their confidence, undermine their sense of safety, their sense of well-being. We might undermine their willingness to take risks or do something new or just their sense of themselves. We may somehow thwart their efforts to go forward and to work through it. Maybe we don't see it, but they have made a lot of progress on this area. Maybe we have made a progress on areas, but we only see those areas in which we, you know, it's just not quite right. So if we find ourselves having this habit of focusing on these things, I'm not saying ignore them. I'm saying to not have a habit to be focusing on them. We may not be supporting other people or supporting ourselves. And we may be missing the things that are right, that are good, that are positive, that are helpful. So instead of maybe, I don't know, if focusing, pointing out, pouncing on, maybe this doesn't happen in person. I think we've all seen this online, right? Where there's comments to a comment. I mean, sometimes that stuff is just mean. People are cruel to each other sometimes online. Pointing out when somebody made a mistake or just, I don't know, just saying things that are completely unnecessary. But I think it's more skillful to encourage positive qualities. What do we see that is in the right direction? What do we notice that is helpful? What do we notice that is skillful? What do we notice that supports a sense of well-being without saying things that aren't true, without being Pollyanna-ish, without being saccharine, but saying something? I find myself saying, not that I'm the perfect model of this, but sometimes I find myself saying, you know, I'm inspired by your commitment to practice when I see people coming here. And it's true. It feels, there's a little delight in my heart when I see that somebody has found something that's supporting them and they're making an effort towards it. So can we catch people in the act of doing good things and just encourage it? Let them know, point it out. Can we catch ourselves in the act of doing things that are going in the direction we want to go? It doesn't mean that we have arrived where we want to arrive. I don't know if we ever do, but that we're just going in that right direction. So, and maybe also, there's an encouragement. When we find ourselves sometimes working with a difficult person, it's easy to get stuck on what's making them difficult. Their complete inability to do X. Their insisting on Y. Their whatever it might be. It's a big task, a big job, but can we open up a little bit and see, okay, maybe X and Y is happening, but chances are there's more happening too. Maybe this person is showing up on time regularly. Maybe we know that this person loves their cat and is kind and generous. So we know this kindness and generosity is in their heart somewhere. Or, I don't know, I'm making these things up. So rather than finding faults in others and focusing on them, we'll notice them. I'm just talking about just not focusing on them. And for ourselves as well, not to focus on them. But can we catch other people, including ourselves, in the act of doing things that are positive? So part of loving kindness practice, there's lots of different ways in which we can approach this. One thing that I'm going to emphasize a little bit tonight is part of loving kindness practice is this, in my experience, is kind of the quieting down of maybe the fault-finding mind. And maybe an opening up of the heart that allows maybe seeing or acknowledging or noticing things that maybe we wouldn't notice when the mind is busy with some of this fault-finding things. No guarantees this is going to happen, that you do loving-kindness practice, but I have a lot of confidence that working with loving-kindness and doing this particular practice is a way to do that. Definitely is a movement in this direction, quieting the mind and opening the heart. In this direction, this movement, there's no telling what kind of beautiful things can happen in this direction. All kinds of things are possible. It's an invitation to explore and discover what kinds of things are possible. So there's lots of different ways to teach loving kindness. The way that I'm going to teach it tonight, for those of you who have been here before with me, I'm going to teach it with three different elements. The first element is to bring to mind a person for whom we are going to generate loving kindness. And bringing to mind usually means like visualizing them, or it could also be a felt sense of them in whatever way that makes sense to you. And in this practice, we start where it's easiest. We always start where it's easiest. I know sometimes there's this I don't know what the word is, this wish, like I'm going to start with the biggest pain point and I'm going to start with that person who annoys me the most. I think that's beautiful. It's a great aspiration, but the trouble with that is that it just so often slips into other things. And with this practice, we're just definitely cultivating the heart's capacity. We're building some neural circuits, we can say. We're just making it more likely that the mind and the heart will slip into loving kindness. We're just creating the conditions for that to happen. So we're going to start where it's easiest. So that means somebody that's lovable. And that you have, that's the first criteria. Second criteria, and that you have an uncomplicated relationship with. This may be somebody that you know. It may be somebody that you don't know. It's okay. Just somebody for whom, when you think about it, there's like a little bit of like, oh yeah, this person. Respect, care, warmth, love, tenderness, whatever word makes sense to you, whatever you want to do. So we'll start there. And then I'll move us to include ourselves in that. Sometimes that turns out to be a little bit more difficult. But we'll do some love and kindness for ourselves. We all need it, I think. If we had some little more kindness towards ourselves, I think the world would be a different place. Kindness towards others too, of course. So that's the first element, to bring to mind a lovable being and ourselves. I'll talk a little bit more about that when we're doing the practice. The second is to use sensations in the body. There's not always, but often, with a feeling of loving kindness, there's a sense of settling, quieting, maybe there's some warmth, softening, opening. These are kind of vague words that I'm using. You'll find your own way with this. Sometimes it's in the chest, in the heart center, maybe sometimes it's in the belly. Not everybody feels this. Maybe sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But if you do, it can be really helpful just to kind of like tap into those sensations and allow those sensations to support your experience in whatever way makes sense to you. I don't want this to get too complicated, but I'll lead us through that. Sometimes an encouragement to just feel if there's something in the body. If there isn't, perfectly fine. If there is, you can work with it. That's the second element. The third element is that we repeat phrases that give the mind something to do or reminds the mind that we're practicing loving kindness here. So it's like the object that we're cultivating loving kindness. It's just natural that our minds wander away, and the phrases are a way to just come back to this cultivation. We'll wander away and then we'll come back. It's a way to just keep the mind, but give the mind something to do and to incline it towards loving kindness. All this being said, no guarantees. It's going to be loving kindness. And it's actually quite common that during the meditation period, like, nothing happened then. I don't know what that was all about. And then an hour later, when you're in traffic, you realize like, oh, that person, they cut me off, but you don't, and your usual habit response might be something different. So there's no requirement there's fireworks or anything in particular happening during meditation, but doesn't mean it's not having an effect. Okay, well, that is a long introduction. I'm going to start us off with you can see what I'm going to start us off with. We're not going to jump directly into loving kindness. I'll do a little bit of a body scan, a little bit of mindfulness to kind of help us get settled first. Okay, so you can take an alert, upright posture. One that expresses some alertness, but also some ease. And this may take a little bit of practice to find this balance between the two, relaxation and uprightness. I'm using this word uprightness, but you're welcome to lay down on the floor. I forgot to say that when I was talking about posture. If you find that it's easier on your body to be laying down, you're perfectly welcome to do that. And then let's begin with three long, slow, deep breaths, just as a way to connect with the body. Sometimes exaggerated movements are a little bit easier to pay attention and to begin with. Now of allowing the breath to return to normal. And throughout this practice, we'll just have a natural breath. We're not doing anything in particular with the breath. We're just noticing it. But before we get there, just to help to bring some ease to our experience, we can just check in with different areas of the body and see if there's some tension, some tightness that might be softened. So you can bring your attention, your awareness to areas around the eyes. We often hold tension here. Or around the jaw, the mouth. There's nothing in particular to do. Sometimes just noticing the tension allows it to shift or relax. Maybe not. That's okay too if it stays. You can check in with the shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back, the upper back and lower back, the chest. Feel if there's any tightness, softness, warmth. There may not be, that's okay. The belly. Allowing the belly to relax as best you can without making a project out of it. Just allowing, we're not making or doing or forcing, just allowing. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion or the floor against your body. Allow yourself to feel supported and grounded. You're here. Check in with the upper legs, the lower legs, and the feet. Another place where we can feel grounded, feeling the feet touching the earth in some way. And the upper arms, lower arms, and your hands. Can you allow if there is any tension or tightness, to just flow out the fingertips? In whatever way that makes sense to you. We'll do a little bit of mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. So you can rest your awareness on the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Whichever of these feels the most supportive, the most vivid, the most compelling, just choose one and just hang out there. Notice the sensations. not a lot to do here. We're just noticing. What does it feel like to have an in-breath, for example? What does it feel like to have an out-breath? If you find your mind being lost in thought, that doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply, gently come back to the sensations of breathing. So this practice, mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, this can be a refuge, this can be a foundation. If when we're doing loving kindness practice, and you discover everything except loving kindness is arising, you can always come back to this practice as a way to bring some stability or some steadiness, if you think it'd be helpful. And now to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind somebody for whom it is easy to love. Someone for whom this naturally arises some warmth, care, respect, tenderness, goodwill, benevolence, whichever word or combination of words is most meaningful for you. No requirement to visualize them with technicolor, high definition precision. Just bring them to mind. And you might just check in with the body. Are there any feelings associated with bringing them to mind? Maybe a little softening or warmth, opening. There might not be. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, can repeat silently in your mind these phrases after me. Having this lovable being in mind, maybe I should say here before I begin, if you're having difficulty finding a lovable being, it doesn't necessarily have to be a human. Kittens and puppies, babies. It's a place we're going to start where it's easy. So with the lovable being in mind, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might just very gently check in with the body. See if there's a feeling of warmth, openness, softness, whatever way you might experience this sense of goodwill towards others, this sense of care towards others. Again, if you don't feel anything, that's perfectly fine. I shouldn't say if you don't feel anything in particular. And I'll also mention that you're welcome to modify the phrases. Use words that are meaningful for you, but still engender this spirit of care and goodwill, love. Again, bringing to mind the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a bit, so you can go at your own pace, maybe with your own words. You might use the sensations in the body to support you. Now we'll expand and build upon this loving kindness that we're cultivating to include ourselves. Of course, we deserve loving kindness. It may be that you spend time being critical, and it could be helpful and supportive to spend some time treating ourselves as we treat others. So we do this in the same way. Bring to mind yourself. It can either be an image of yourself, either as you are now. Some people find it easier to do a younger version of themselves, even when they were children or toddlers even. Whatever seems accessible. Again, we're not going for the most difficult. Or rather than visualization, perhaps there's a felt sense what it's like to sit here now. Have that in the mind. You could feel in the body if there's been a shift or a change or anything happening when I've introduced this idea of loving kindness for oneself. And then we'll simply change the pronouns and the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Maybe you can check in with the sensations in the body, the heart center, the belly, chest. If there is any feelings of openness or warmth, you can allow those feelings to get as big as they would like. Again, we're just allowing, not so much doing. It's perfectly fine if you don't feel particular sensations. Can you allow whatever sensations there are. For the last part of this meditation, decide which feels like most supportive right now. Continuing with loving kindness for yourself, loving kindness for a lovable person, or perhaps mindfulness of breathing. What feels the most supportive, the most nourishing, the most compelling practice right now? If it's not clear, if you don't know, then you can just continue with loving kindness for yourself. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the cushion, the chair, or the floor against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So in that meditation, I started us off with just simple three long deep breaths. We did a little body scan. Then we just rested our attention on the sensations of breathing, some mindfulness of breathing. And then loving kindness for a lovable being. And then loving kindness for ourselves. And at the end, just a little bit there for you to do whatever practice felt like the one that wanted to be done. quite something how doing these practices, right? I can just like feel in the room, right? How we're all a little bit more settled here, and hopefully that goes with some more ease and some openness for you all too. So I introduced, before we did the meditation practice, talking about how this idea that loving-kindness practice certainly can be powerful and transformative in so many different ways. And part of the way is to help us to see beyond just the faults, quote-unquote, the difficulties in ourselves and in others, somehow at this softness or settledness or warmth or openness that happens with practice is a way for us to see more than things that we find difficult, or if that's a habit of ours, or just make it easier to catch people in the act of doing things that are beneficial and supportive. But loving-kindness practice is not the only thing that is supportive of that. It's also kind of having a sense of community. In whatever way that means, it doesn't mean that you have to have a bazillion best friends or something like this, but just recognizing that there's lots of other humans around. We share this planet, we share this meditation hall today with each other. We shared this practice together. So now I'd like to provide an opportunity to get into groups of three and just to share a little bit what that practice was like. So some things to say are, wow, that was great. I feel refreshed. That was just what I needed. That was so boring. I'm never coming back here again. I can't believe it. Or, you know what? I don't know. I still am figuring it out, right? No requirement to share your deepest, darkest secrets, your biggest insight, your biggest difficulty. But I would ask, please do not give advice to each other. Please don't like tell somebody else, well, what you really should be doing is X, Y, or Z. I don't think any of us came here for that specific reason. More, it's just an opportunity. Sometimes when we hear ourselves or are asked to articulate what an experience was, then it somehow becomes a little bit more clear for ourselves. It's really more for our benefit to kind of share that rather than telling a whole big story to somebody. There's an encouragement, no requirement, to meet with people that you didn't come with so that you can meet some other people. If you want to meet with people you came with, you're welcome to do that too. So I didn't count. I don't know if we're divisible by three here. So if there needs to be a group of four, that's perfectly fine. And just here's an opportunity just for a few minutes to get together. So maybe like one person talks for a little bit, 1, 2 minutes, 3 minutes maybe. The next person talks and then the third person talks. So if you want to get into groups of three, and then I'll ring the bell and we'll all come back here. Of course, you can move the chairs, move the cushions, you can do anything you'd like to do. And if you're not sure who to meet with, you can just like turn towards me and I'll assign or help you guys get into groups or something. So there's a group of three right here if you want to join this one. Okay.